irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You would be indeed, and I am Michael Sterling, I think.
Do I look like him? You certainly look every bit the handsome Sterlo that I know.
Well, there you go. Aren't you kind?
And I am Paul Strohle. No, thank God I am not. I am Mark Aidan Gray.
No, you are Mark Aidan Gray.
That's right.
You are from Australia, sir.
Sydney, Australia.
Do you remember these things?
I do remember koalas and kangaroos doing strange things in my past.
Do you miss them?
I miss the food.
Do you really?
I miss going and getting really good bread from the local deli, and the coffee's great. I miss those things.
Well, you know, there's some wonderful places, I understand, downtown Los Angeles that are catering to the Australian community here.
I see more and more, though, the seven-hour drive downtown is the thing that kind of makes the bread less tasty
when you only live 10 minutes away.
Yeah. Half a mile, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, before we get into to our personal lives here, we should thank our sponsors, I suppose, huh?
Yes,
good
absolutely.
Idea. So we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And we've got a great show today.
Yes, Mark. We do.
Yes, we do. Another one. And two of the stars of the critically acclaimed production of Sleeping Beauty and Her Winter Night at the Pasadena Playhouse are here with us today. One is en route, I might add, and one, the lovelier of the two, I must say.
While his back's turned, here.
Sleeping Beauty, however, is not your typical fare because it's done with contemporary music in the British Family Fun panto style and of theater. So it's something that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the program.
Yes, she really, our first guest, is an elegant force of nature, I think is a good way to describe her, who has enjoyed success not only on Broadway but in TV, which we'll talk about, in the recording studio. Audiences fondly remember her from her distinctly impressive, in my wife's words, fierce television debut on American Idol's very first season in 2002. Hello to the gorgeous and very, very gifted Tamira Gray.
Hello.
Say gorgeous again.
Gorgeous.
There you go. I don't like the way you say that, man.
Tamira, thank you. Do you have any relation to the Viennese Jewish Greys from my family going back a few generations?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anything is possible.
Let's keep in touch. Maybe you can look into it and we can... Okay.
Yeah. I thought about that. I was like, ooh, could there be any relation?
That's right. Good. Yeah, well, I look forward to that.
So before we speak to the beautiful Tamira, I want to ask you, how was your week, first of all?
Well, it's a reflective time of year. It's a time of year also of anticipation. 2015, I thought about the fact that maybe I'm not going to be on this show anymore, that Paul Strohle, he's going to come back at some point. So I just want to talk to you about something, if that's okay, Michael, regarding this, because I'm feeling insecure. So I have a huge Twitter following. Well, it was 50 a couple of weeks ago. It's now 52 as a result of this show. A couple of friends and my mother-in-law's. But and I've had some reaction. People know about this, that Strokes is coming back. And I just want to read a few tweets which might influence you as a shaker and mover.
All right.
One was hashtag redheads are smoking. I don't know who this person was. And they said, Strohle has big feet and a small mind, which I thought was cruel.
What?
But just, I mean, I just want to let you know in case it... there was one, Australia rules, Italy smells. That was the hashtag, which I thought was offensive. And it said, Paul Strohle should go back to where he came from, and I mean Reseda. That was the second one. And finally, this was hashtag fire down below 69. I don't know who this person is. And it said, Strohle is to talk radio what North Korea is to James Franco movies.
Oh,
so
my
that's,
goodness.
I just want to let you know.
It's rough out there in the tweet world.
Yeah, and I just thought.
The world of Twitter.
Is that going to influence your decision as the boss of this show as to who your co-host is going to be?
Well, I think I'm the boss of the show, but I'm not certain Paul would agree with that.
Okay.
So, you know, the one thing I must end, he is there's one thing very wrong about one of those tweets.
Okay, what is it?
He's from Tarzana, not Rosita.
Oh, there it is. Yes. I like
so
it.
So there you go. That's yes. how gossip gets, you know, circulated.
His stock's just sunk a little further.
Exactly.
Okay. No respect
to
Tarzan.
We love Paul Sterling.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I do, too. But clearly there are people out there that feel differently, and I wanted you to know about that.
Well, I'm taking this all under advisement. Okay.
Now, enough
getting
of
me
that.
In the hot seat here, man.
I know, right? That was my intention. Now, how was your week? I know that you are preparing. You've got a lot of stuff going on with LA's next great stage star.
Yes, indeed. And Tamara can certainly realize this. I produce something every year called LA's Next Great Stage Star.
That's cool.
And this is in the ninth year we're coming into. And this is something I put together. I have a separate club here that's dedicated to presenting the best of Broadway performers in concert and nightclub artists who sing the Great American Songbook.
Right.
So it's called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
And it's wonderful, I must say.
I like singing at the Federal, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. When is it?
So it is, this program of the LA's Next Great Stage Star starts on January 4th. And we just had our auditions. We have these 20 young, beautiful, hopeful youngsters as competitors, 10 men, 10 women. And it's patterned loosely after American Idol. It is certainly judged live in front of an audience with of the hierarchy of the producers and artistic directors and casting directors and agents who are involved in musical theater here in Los Angeles and New York. And we have had 11 of our contestants already make their Broadway debuts.
Fantastic.
That is remarkable.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So thrilling for us to know this.
It's a testament to the standard that
absolutely.
You've got going on there.
And some of them are, of those 11, three or four of them are on their third and fourth Broadway shows at this point.
Oh. Yes, yeah. Well done.
Right? So, yeah, it's a labor of love. It's very intense because when you inherit 20 grown children, let alone one baby, which Tamara knows about, is a handful and probably equal to that. It is a big job.
Now, are there any? Have you had any real divas where you'd had to put them on drugs, Xanax, anything like that in the time you've been doing the? No, nothing like that.
We have not.
I just wanted to check in.
I'll let you know though. Yeah, boy, will I let you know?
Yes, our secret.
These are pretty serious kids. They're very devoted to it. They're fresh out of universities, UCLA and SC. Most of the kids who come to audition for us. So it's the next step into having a professional career.
And when they audition, do they do a scene as well? Do they just sing?
It is a singing competition in the sense of certainly their vocal prowess, but it is not officially an acting competition because we're not doing scenes from musical theater. We're definitely competing song by song with each of these contestants in specialized musical categories that are given to them by us, the producers. And with regard to the acting part of it, though, you know that that rests on your face when you are a musical theater person.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of drill all of this into them. We prepare them. We don't want to ever take away from what they've learned in school because they're in high, you know, well-respected institutions that are giving them a great academic
of course.
Program, and we're just prepping them for what's out there in the real world because you'd be very surprised at how sheltered they are in a university.
Well, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they are shocked you know, by some of the information that...
So do you find yourself saying things like, hey, you're not in school anymore, you little punk, or anything like that? Is that something you would say...
American Idol-esque.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I must say that if we had any judge that could be possibly compared to Mr. Simon Cowell, it would be one of our judges, Peter Machas, who's a brilliantly smart man, but he is very outspoken. And he says it constructively, but is edgy, kind of a little edgy, as Simon has been known to be.
It's good to have one of those. That's
he's not there to punish somebody by, you know, I mean, he's there to help them and make them realize and wake up. You know?
Yeah.
Some people become complacent, you know. They think that they think they know who they are when yet they really don't.
We can all fall prey to that.
Indeed,
I hear you,
indeed.
Yeah, I mean, to know who you are, I think you have to open your mindset and step out of the box and listen to it all. Listen to all the feedback.
Check your ego at the door.
Exactly. And that's exactly a line that I used on Tuesday night with all of them.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's exciting. Thanks for asking.
And, yeah.
It is a handful, but we're very 6 weeks. It runs through February 8th. There is no eliminations, however, like Idol, until the very last competition.
So they get a great run.
And can anybody come watch?
Yes.
And when are the...
It's every Sunday as matinee performances, brunch and matinee performances, beginning January 4th through February 8th, consistently.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come check it out.
You come, you let me know, you'll be our special guest.
They'll be thrilled
to
have Tamara come watch.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, good. Because she's a Broadway girl, too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
The show ends on the 4th, so I'm free after
oh,
that.
Oh, good. Okay, fantastic. Well, you come to the finale. That would be awesome.
That would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
See the winner.
Yeah.
And I give them $1,000, a headlining gig at the club, and they walk out of there with agents and a career.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, shall we speak to our lovely guest here?
Yeah, I know. She's already been asking questions, taking over the show. So that's fantastic. Thanks
well,
for that.
I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're a Grey. That's what Greys do.
Excuse me.
Tell us about our first guest, Michael.
Well, after scoring as fourth runner-up on American Idol in 2002, she was met with a career on television on such shows as What I Like About You, Boston Public, Half and Half, True Calling, and Las Vegas. She also co-starred in the 2005 motion picture The Gospel, a modern retelling of the parable of the prodigal son. That same year, she made her Broadway debut in the musical Bombay Dreams. She returned to Broadway in the 2007 hit revival of Rent, playing the role of Mimi Marquez, for nearly a year. It was a contract that was extended, if I remember right from my research.
Yes.
And she is also a successful recording artist, a Billboard-charting songwriter, and a recently new mother. But she's here today to talk about her co-starring role as the fairy in the Lithgow family production of Sleeping Beauty and Her Winter Night. Please say hello to the beautiful and lovely and talented Tamara Grey.
Hello.
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 So you're here. It's happening. You're in this amazing show, which I hear is hilarious.
It's so funny.
So funny. So family funny. Fun funny.
Yes.
Yeah?
And Silly Billy is extraordinary, played by Ben Drew. He's extraordinary.
Well, you've got some great castmates, and David Engel,
and Lucy Lawless,
who's a mate of yours, so to speak. She's from New Zealand.
She comes from the other isle where the whole fornication with sheep, which we won't go into right now, but that's New Zealand. For all our New Zealand listeners, hello. Yes, I wonder what Lucy would say to that, but she's a force. She's,
she is the best Carabas / Maleficent ever.
Oh.
Ever.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about her? Because I have this image of Lucy Lawless backstage, hairy armpits, like bicep curling, like midgets, you know, like, just because she's so strong and masculine. Is that true or not?
She is the best woman, feminine, beautiful soul you will ever meet.
Thank you for putting me in my place. I appreciate that.
You know, I concur because I had the opportunity of interviewing her for television, for Broadway World TV, which I also produce. And she is a class act.
Yes.
She's fun. She's not a diva in any sort of way.
Great.
Actually.
Yeah.
And she's a lovely singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hits Edge of Glory like none other.
Is that right?
She gives you the rock element, and then she gives you the fun, crazy... Broadway, Evil Queen kind of
nice.
Break the glass moment, too.
I didn't know she sang. That's really
well, terrific. Let's talk about the music in the show first, because it's done with contemporary music, right?
Yeah.
So that's weaved into this panto style of British humor.
Yeah, and I think that's also what helps to grab the children, mm-hmm. the kids' attention, because you have familiar songs. We're doing Edge of Glory, we're doing Happy,
we're
doing Domino and Marry You, and songs that kids hear all the time on the radio that, you know, they get to sing along with, because, you know.
Very smart.
Very smart, indeed.
Yeah.
And it's interactive with the
it's
audience.
It's very
in many
interactive.
Ways, right? It's booing the villain and cheering, you know, for the heroes, right?
Cheering for the heroes. And then when we had a moment recently where I was telling Silly Billy, well, I tell him every night, actually, to right. believe in himself. And we asked them, Nanny Tickle says, "We all believe in you, don't we, audience?" And this one kid said, "No,
yeah.
no, I don't believe in you." And
love that kid.
we get to talk back to them. And they was like, well, minus him, we are the rest of us.
So you just, it's random and you've got to ad lib at that point.
It is. It is. And it keeps you on your toes and it keeps it exciting for us, you know, too. We're always on the script, staying true to the script, obviously. But when people throw things at us, we get to respond and break the fourth wall.
That's great.
You know, in traditional theater, we don't get that opportunity. The fourth wall is there. There's nobody sitting in the audience. You're in this whole world, you know, and we get to break that world and include them into this the show.
You mentioned Nanny Tickles. That's played by
David Engel.
David Engel, who's a friend of mine, and he's such a brilliant actor. He really is. He started on Broadway in Le Cachot Fall.
Okay.
And has done, and one of the original plaids in the Forever Plaid. Do you know that?
I don't. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Very successful off-Broadway show that just made a fortune and eventually became a motion picture a few years ago in which he also starred.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is directed by Bonnie Lithgow.
It is. And so talented, Miss Bonnie Lithgow.
Remarkable. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to ask about Bonnie and the whole Lithgow family. Her husband's Nigel Lithgow, and it says that the...
Ex-husband,
yes. And also Chris Lithgow did the costumes.
He's the book writer. He wrote the script.
I mean, the book. When I say costumes, I meant it in a book variety.
It's two for two.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really on a roll here. And I'm going to get this one right. And Becky Lithgow co-produced it.
Yes.
Now, my question is the Lithgow family, I mean, who doesn't hate these people? What a bunch of overachieving, arrogant... I mean, who wants to go to a dinner party with these? You can't measure up to that. Can they just take a break and have a drink and just let someone else do something for once?
Why? When they're coming up with such great ideas and introducing us to something that we wouldn't have had the experience to have.
Well, that is... It's true, and I love So You Think You Can Dance, as I've mentioned before.
Me too.
Yeah, so how's Bonnie to work with? She is so talented.
She is so wonderful. And, you know, I've had the privilege of working with her ex-husband, Nigel, with American Idol. So
yes.
I feel like... and Becky and I, ironically, worked together when I was just out of school doing a Coca-Cola industrial. So I kind of feel like my life has come 360, you know, because I'm working with three people who I've had experiences with before. And she's just lovely, Bonnie. Really, really lovely. She's really open and allows us. I mean, we had 2 weeks rehearsal. So you get 2 weeks to put it up. And by when we got in, she said, okay, so by day four, I would like for you all to be off book. And so we were like, okay. And Ben walked in first day and he was already off book.
Wow.
So we were all like, oh, I just glanced over it. And Bonnie was like, no worries. You know, we're going to develop it, you know, just by Saturday.
This is Ben Giroux from, he's also was on CW's Heart of Dixie.
Yes.
Which is a fun show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you catch up? Did you get off book?
Yes, we were all, by day three, actually, we were all saying, okay, put the book down and going off of memory and saying line whenever necessary. But, you know, there was an amount of trust that Bonnie, you know, instilled in us that it was safe to make mistakes. It's safe to just play,
right.
You know, which is what you want as an actor and as an artist.
Well, Bonnie is quite a celebrity also in Australia.
She's huge in Australia. She's the lead judge on Australia, So You Think You Can Dance.
But does she, when she's not here tomorrow, does she return to Australia?
She does.
So she's back and forth all the time.
Yeah, a buddy of mine is that she produces huge shows down there outside of So You Think You Can Dance, huge theatrical productions.
Mm-hmm. And she's a panto there too, doesn't
she? Yes, I have a buddy that works with her every year and says she's just fantastic and, again, a force of nature and, yeah, impressive.
Well, the whole family is very nice. Nigel is also very, very... wonderful man, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing him too. And he's just a very gentle guy. He knows who he is. And
I would just love to see one of the Lithgows end up in prison. You know what I mean? Just to balance it out. You know what I mean? Just have one of them not be so amazing and invincible. But that's just me, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'd like some of their ideas to rub off on me so that I can go out and produce some of these fantastic shows that they produce.
Let me ask you, speaking of American Idol, how do you feel about your process? I mean, it was 2002. You've obviously, like anyone, you grow as an artist every year. And how do you feel your process is different as an artist since way back then doing that?
I trust in myself and my feelings a lot more than I did then.
Yeah.
I'm more educated in the industry as a whole, and a lot more focused. You know, before it was, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. I want to try everything. That's what I wanted to do.
Yes.
And for the most part, I have tried everything that I said I wanted to try. And now with having a daughter and having, I actually have a 16-year-old too.
Well, it's not possible.
Come on. Yeah, right?
No way. Really?
Yes, I am a bonus mom, and I've been since he was four.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yes, it is.
So it's being focused. I'm a lot more focused now on not just the work, but on my happiness and what's best for my family as well as myself, and making sure that I set a good example for my children when it comes to following your dreams and going after what it is that your heart tells you you want.
Yes. Well, that's remarkable. You say you've done everything, and I looked up, I did a bit more research on you. And before you became a star and an incredibly successful artist, you had a lot of, you had some other jobs.
Lots of jobs.
Well, and there were some of the ones, you mentioned a few that I thought were interesting. One of them, so you were a telemarketer, you were a waitress. The two that caught my attention, one was you were a party motivator, which sounds like a drug dealer to me, but that's okay, that's just me. Maybe you can explain what a party motivator is.
Yes, so I worked for a dance company, and okay. My name was Element, and okay. We went and did bar and bat mitzvahs and different birthday parties and corporate parties, and I had this little slogan that I said, and I dressed in this very futuristic outfit that I got in London, actually.
Oh, great.
And I said, whenever I met the kids, I said, I'm an international, extraterrestrial, intergalactical space superstar.
Sounds so, like a cult to me.
If the people were on drugs, that would be fantastic if they heard that. That would be, wow.
But yeah, no, I went completely out for it. I loved it.
That's amazing. And what about, you also ran your own cleaning service?
I did.
So tell us about...
You did some good research.
Yeah. I actually thought as a survival job, a cleaning would not be too bad. You're moving around, you kind of get, you have your own space, you're your own boss. What
and
was it
like? And you're cleaning people's offices and you see how dirty people okay. can be at their offices. And yes. it was fun. I didn't do it very long. I called my company Scrubbing Bubbles, you know.
Okay.
Was it just you or did you have others with you?
Well, it started out as my family's business, and then my parents got divorced and we're like, we're not doing it, but we still had a contract. And so I said, okay, well, I'll go and get, you know, my license, and I went and did it myself.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, I always believe that those kinds of jobs are kind of give you an interesting foundation that's much sturdier, you know, than having some cushy little job
yeah.
somewhere that where you're not having to really dig your heels in and make it happen.
That's true.
Especially when you need to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kudos to you for doing these kinds of things. And I mean, most actors will find those kinds of jobs, but it's a matter of being good at it. And I have a feeling you were probably very good at
yeah,
all
I
of
think
those
so too.
Jobs, right?
I had a good time, yeah. I was definitely the... Leonardo DiCaprio of what was that movie?
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can. Yeah, there were some jobs that I had that I definitely shouldn't have had.
Okay.
That you need to have a degree and all kinds of stuff for.
Well, that just shows you have initiative if you're able to do that.
Yeah, or talk a good game.
Yeah, that's right.
The gift of gab.
There you go. So how did Idol, though, do you feel that Idol and participating in that, because you went so far through the competition in one of its greatest ever years, of course, that it gave you, you know, the direction that it gave you what you needed at that time to be able to go out into the world?
Oh, absolutely.
I know that Simon signed you to his record company and you started there and things kind of built up and you got these wonderful opportunities.
Yes.
Recurring role on Boston Public. And so it was worth the experience, right?
Oh, my gosh, 100 yeah. times. I feel as though it gave me, it was that necessary stepping stone. I needed to open all the doors because I had been trying to pursue my music career since I was 13, going to school, going to studios after school and recording. And although opportunities were happening, they weren't like, it was just very sporadic. One here, one there, you know, many years, many months passed. And after I got off Idol, I had the wonderful opportunity of Mr. David Kelly. Reaching out, David mm-hmm. E. Kelly, reaching out to me about
One
Boston
of the
Public.
Greatest television producers, creators in the history of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really awesome with the opportunity for Boston Public. And I actually asked him because I had never taken acting lessons. And acting, although it was something that I thought about, it wasn't something that I was super keen on my confidence level in doing it.
Well, neither have most people on TV. They've never taken an acting lesson, so that was fine. That was perfect. So, but sorry, go on.
That's actually some truth to what you're saying here in today's television.
So did you? So how did that work then for you to step into that?
You know, he told me from given my performances on the show that he felt like I could act, and he took the leap of faith, and I took it with him, and I've done more acting than I have singing.
Wow.
And
that's great.
So it's been incredible.
But look at your life experiences, and that's what you fall back on. Yeah. That's what makes actors actors.
Yeah.
That's what in the musical theater makes a song, you know, go over so amazingly well when the acting is, as we were talking before the program, rests on your face. You know, a lyric to a song, understanding the lyrics, relating to them somehow in your life. It's important. It's so very important. But you have to have the experience in your life to be able to find those things to pull into.
No question. And with also having an open heart, you know, you see a lot of such as yourself, it's clear even just being in your presence here, approaching it with an open heart and spirit, you're already so far ahead of the game at that point.
And it's with today's technology that's offered to young people, it's frightening to me of all of the things that they're not necessarily getting the same way that you did or that we did as children.
Yeah.
Someone said something interesting to me the other day. They were a school teacher, and they said you would be shocked to see how poorly children are writing on a piece of paper these days because they're only used to the keyboard.
Yep.
And they're not even teaching script anymore. They're not teaching cursive anymore. Yep. And that's scary because I feel as though the connection, the hand-brain connection, is extremely important, especially with creativity.
Yes.
There's something about those loops, you know, when you're writing in cursive that triggers a different part of your brain versus when you're writing, you know, just, I can't think of the regular, just regular print.
Yes. Well, speaking of writing and shorthand, you say that, and yet you actually are on Twitter, so you're not really doing your part to promote handwriting, if I can just say that.
I keep journals.
You keep journals? Okay. Please, send us your journals.
She probably reads when she's in bed at night.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, first off, I just want to say that you tweeted a little while back, thanks to all my followers, 28 more and I'm at 8K, whoop, whoop. So, are you really watching every day that closely, counting down?
Not every day.
Because you've gained one, you're now at 7,973, so you're now 27 away.
And I offended somebody in the process. She said,
really?
Don't forget, what was her name? She told me, don't forget those of us who were there for you when your daughter took a big crap on the couch.
Wow. Wow, that's so bitter. So, now, you like to quote things. Well, you say some interesting stuff, which I really like, although some of it's a bit worrisome. You said here, I think this was a few days ago, watch out 2015, I have discovered my own, I am, and I am beyond ready, and this is the part that worried me, to ignite its flames.
Yes!
That sounds like some kind of global jihad. What are we talking about here?
What is ignite
its flames. Yeah, ignite its flames.
Ignite its flames.
What's going
passion.
Up in flames? Oh, flames of passion.
Yes! I am! What is your I am?
Well, I'm not telling the world I'm going to blow it up in flames.
I didn't say that. You said that. So you did.
Now, a couple of other things. You like to post great quotes. One which I loved was, the past is a place of reference, not of residence. And the brilliant Maya Angelou. Hang on. And then you also said, don't let yourself be burdened by negativity. And you have many from Maya Angelou. So I was wondering, I'd like to give you a couple of quotes and tell me how you feel about them.
Uh-oh.
These are from Kanye West. And just tell me if you would retweet either of these.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
First one is, my greatest pain in life is that I'll never be able to see myself perform live. Well, that's his greatest pain in life. How do you feel about that?
That's not my greatest pain in life.
Okay.
I would like to step outside of myself some nights in Hero and just sit there and watch the whole thing that's happening in Sleeping Beauty.
There you go. Well said. Well said. And the other one he said is, I hate when I'm on a flight and I wake up with a water bottle next to me like, oh, great, now I got to be responsible for this water bottle.
What?
How do you feel about that? That's deep. Come on.
When you're on a flat.
When you're on a flight. Sorry, it's my accent. When he's on a flight, he wakes up and there's a water bottle next to him, and now he feels he's got to be responsible for the water bottle.
On an airplane,
a flight.
Oh, a flight.
Is that something you'd want to, like, is that up to Maya Angelou level?
Nah, I'm going to pass on that one.
Okay. That's it. That's all I wanted to check in with, Stella.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? We're going to talk with Tamara for the rest of the program, it appears.
Yeah.
Garrett Clayton, our other guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been detained and probably won't make the program, but we'll see.
Okay.
But let me take this opportunity just to say, go revert back to Sleeping Beauty and Her Winter Night and talk about where our listening audience can go and see this beautiful show. So it is at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Wonderful theater. Lovely
beautiful
place
theater,
to go.
Historic Pasadena Playhouse, I might add, now through the 4th of January. And it plays Monday, December 29th at 7:30, Tuesdays, Fridays at 7:30, Saturdays at 12, 4 and 7:30. Wow, three shows a day.
Oh,
Sundays
my God.
At 12 and 4 with special matinees. Wednesday, December 24th, very sweet, Christmas Eve at 4 p.m. Friday, December 26th, the day after Christmas at 4 p.m. Tuesday, December 30th, 4 p.m. And here's how you get tickets, folks. It's simple. You go to the Pasadena Playhouse. .org. That's their website for sales and information, or you can call them 626-356-7529 and or visit the box office in person. It's open Tuesday through Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m.
And also, if you tweet Tamara and follow her, she'll get you a free ticket, which
absolutely.
I think is just, I mean, that is really remarkable. Wow. Thank you, Tamara, for
throw
that.
And a backstage pass.
And a backstage pass. There you go.
Oh, the Lithgows are going to be
oh,
out
yeah.
for you now.
They're going to be thrilled. They're doing all right. I think they're doing all right. Yes.
Let's do our arts calendar, Mark.
Absolutely.
Give one of our other great theaters that's working real hard during the holidays a little plug again. So
yes.
You want to start it off?
Yes. San Diego Musical Theater presents its final production of their 2014 season, Irving Berlin's White Christmas, beginning this evening, December 11th, or the evening of December 11th, through December 21st, 2014, at the North Park Theater. Now, based on the beloved Timeless film, this heartwarming musical adaptation features 17 Irving Berlin songs. He's another overachiever, like the Lithgows, played by a live 22-piece orchestra.
The plot, you say? Well, veterans Bob Wallace and Phil Davis have a successful song and dance act after World War II. With romance in mind, the two follow a duo of beautiful singing sisters en route to their Christmas show at a Vermont lodge, which just happens to be owned by Bob and Phil's former Army commander.
Now, isn't that stalking to follow sisters to their Vermont? Would that be, is that legal to do that? To just follow them to an abandoned lodge?
No,
is that?
We're talking about another time.
Oh, sorry.
That wasn't a threat, necessarily.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
The dazzling score features well-known standards, including Blue Skies, I Love a Piano, How Deep is the Ocean, and the perennial favorite White Christmas.
Yes, and the award-winning San Diego Musical Theater's production of White Christmas is directed by LA's critically acclaimed Todd Nielsen and stars an uber-talented cast led by Todd DuBale, Alison Spratt Pierce, Tro Shaw, and Jeffrey Scott Parsons, supported by the always wonderful character actress and singer Carla Franco and a host of others, including a first-class ensemble. Tickets for White Christmas are available by calling 858-560-5740 or by visiting San Diego Musical Theater online at www.sdmt.org.
Have you ever seen the show on the stage?
I've never seen
Have
it on
you,
the stage.
Have you, Tamara? So beautiful. You know what happens at the end? Should
what
I
happens?
Say? It's kind of a spoiler alert thing, but...
Wow, I'm not playing.
It
right.
actually snows in the theater, inside.
Remarkable.
All over the audience.
Real that, snow?
Yeah, real snow. Well...
We
Real snow.
It on Sleeping Beauty, too.
Yeah, does it?
It does there at the
go.
End.
Oh,
really?
Nice. So we just get
alert.
Two, two of them. Now she and I are in trouble.
And you know, Tamara, and this is not a spoiler alert, that these two song and dance men from the war, which was filled with them in the Second World War, they're all song and dance men, the soldiers, they end up going to the Vermont Lodge. And who is running another, he's running another musical number, isn't he? The head of the someone else, another band, is their old commanding officer from the war.
Oh, wow.
The clear coincidence. Is just, my mind boggles at that.
It's a sweet story. No?
Yeah,
it's
no,
a
I mean that.
Story.
This is just like, Scargent, what are you doing here?
You know, it's
this
the 60th anniversary of the film. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Do you know that the one of the female stars was my mentor in my lifetime?
Rosemary my Clooney.
Friend, Rosemary Clooney.
Such
she taught me
voice.
Everything I knew about music, I know about music.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a must-see.
It is. It was in the theaters this past weekend, actually, in select theaters throughout the country for 3 showings on the big screen.
Okay.
Yeah, which I have never even seen it on the big screen because I was too young. But
oh, that's right. Well, it'll come back. It'll revolve.
Well, I actually have it on my DVR because it just played on some TMC or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm thrilled. I'm waiting for Christmas Eve because it's been years since I've seen it.
That's amazing. Speaking of this, I mean, it's all very Christmas to Myra, and you know, as a Jew, I mean, you know, this show sounds wonderful, Sleeping Beauty in a Winter Night. My good friend Bill O'Reilly has talked about a war on Christmas. So for those who despise Christmas and want to protest, where should they stand at the Pasadena Palace? Should they wait at the stage door for you? Or
I think they should get their tickets and yes. sit in the audience and then come and say hello after the fact.
That's right.
She's good. She's really good.
Very diplomatic.
She is. She does not perhaps blink.
She should be running for some office.
Yes. Yeah. That's I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Now, how are your television travails? And if you had to pick between being a huge movie star or series regular on a massive hit show or touring the world in large stadia to be exact, which would you prefer?
I think I want to tour the world in large stadiums.
I like
or
it.
Stadia.
Yeah. Stadia, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good,
I
yeah.
I want to see the world. There's a lot of world out there, and life is pretty short.
Well, see, but you could do that very successfully if you took the other two roads, probably, which would give you all that fame again.
Oh, but I just want to sing.
Yep, but then that leads back to what you want to do.
But then there's time that goes by doing those other two things, and I don't get to do the other one until later.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, you said.
Yeah, in an ideal world.
Yeah.
And, but I love it all. I absolutely love it all and would take any of it, you know, given the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my point was, you know, often, you know, this whole thing that's happened over the past maybe 20 years of putting television personalities on Broadway, who have not necessarily had Broadway experience, is all for the marquee value of because of television and film, you know, as well. They step into that, too.
Yeah, and that could advance you in that way.
Right. And,
as
if
well,
it's
musically.
And I think a lot of them have made their own success, such as yourself. But others, I would question that, you know, their choice of keeping a show alive. Cheryl Ladd as Annie Oakley and Annie Get Your Gun. I'm not sure about that choice, but things like that.
Would you say that maybe straight actors trying to do musicals is the tougher way as opposed to singers doing acting? You think it might be a little harder going in that direction? Tamara.
Yeah, because you have to be able to sing.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, there are people certainly who, you know, who I saw sing recently at a venue that I was, I was working the show for Broadway World. Richard Chamberlain. Do you remember Richard Chamberlain?
No.
Famous British actor. The Thornbirds was his huge miniseries in the 80s. Right. It was a massive hit.
And he had a very big television series, which brought him into the American mainstream consciousness, called Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare.
And a very handsome guy on top of it. And he was just an enormous star. But he has maintained his career. His love is musical theater.
He's still going strong?
Yeah.
Wow.
Still doing it and singing and dancing. And I just worked with him last year. And
Dickie Chamberlain is still going at
singing
it.
Singing and dancing, and he is in his late 70s.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
When you love it, you love it.
Yeah, and he did so well.
Now, speaking of things doing well and getting a little older, which we all do, American Idol is on a 46th season now. Look, I know it's hard. I'm putting you on the spot, but that's what I do. You tell me if you agree with this. I mean, Idol has basically been declared a talent-free zone for several years now. Basically, it sounds more like the cast recording of Dukes of Hazzard than anything else. It's just country western. That's all it is. It's just for 3 states in the South. But you didn't say that. I said that. Do you watch American Idol? Is that something, you know, as you, after the show, you just like, I just want to put this behind me? What's your feeling on
it? It's not that I want to put it behind me. I just am bored.
Good for you. Good for you.
I watch The Voice, and I love Idol. I just, you know, I feel like they have a lot of rules now.
Yeah.
They have a lot of rules. When we started, you just sang. You know, and everybody, you got a good variety of people, and it feels a little put together.
Yeah, I know. Now. Very produced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd I'd much rather watch The Voice.
Yes.
I watched The Idol at the finale.
Okay.
That's when I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's, I have to go through all the, the stuff to get there.
Yes.
And, I got upset. I used to watch it every year, and then I think the last time I really stopped paying attention was when Daughtry got voted off. Because I was like, okay, I'm done.
Okay.
I can't do this anymore. I got so emotionally involved, and then he went home, even though his career has been amazing.
Right.
But it was just like, okay, there's something else extra now.
Do you know, Sterlo, talking about Tamara and her talent, my wife Victoria, last week's guest, and as the listeners heard, she's a songwriter and singer herself.
Yeah.
Can be very critical of musicians and with her classical piano training, be a bit of a music snob. I hope she's listening. And when I told her who our guest was today, she said, that woman is the real deal. Because she said the standard on that first season was so stratospheric.
Absolutely.
And for you to get to fourth, amazing. And she said she is fierce.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah. And you're right, Victoria. She was born fierce.
Yeah.
That's right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to be born fierce.
You got to be, yeah. For sure.
But I want to ask you about, who thrills me all the time is Kathy Griffin when she talks about one Mr. Ryan Seacrest.
Really? What does she say about
Well, she doesn't Seacrest. Refer to him in the masculine gender most of
the time. Oh, okay.
Which is kind of kooky crazy. I happen to think he's a very classy guy. I think he's probably one of the hardest working people in this business.
Great host.
Sure.
Obviously made an amazing dent in success.
Yeah, he's an empire.
Totally. And the man is relentless. When did he sleep?
I mean, yes.
He's got the early morning radio show and he fishes.
He's clearly very greedy. And
time.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, he has a whole room full of money and it's just, okay, he's a greedy guy, but he's also a fantastic host. Great, smooth.
So team. How was it working with Ryan?
It was the first season. So
and he was new too.
Yeah, we were all
and
new.
And who was the other fellow that year?
Dunkelman. Ryan Dunkelman.
Which disappeared the next year.
He did.
But you know what? Quite frankly, it wasn't a good pairing, I think. Ryan, you knew Ryan was on it.
Yeah.
And Dunkelman was kind of,
He wasn't, I don't even know if he was in radio prior to, but Ryan had his stuff together for sure.
Yeah, that.
And had a mission, and as we see, his mission is still in full effect.
Well, yes. What's interesting is most hosts of programs like that, don't necessarily go on to have an amazing career like he's had from the program, which he's still with all these years later.
Yes.
It's like Pat Sajak is still with Wheel of Fortune, but that's really kind of all he does,
right,
as well as Vanna White.
You wouldn't go see Pat Sajak in the Coconut Grove Hilton Dinner Theater, would you? It's just like, oh, we got Pat Sajak Thursday night and the veal's cheap. You just would not do that.
I don't think so.
No.
I think Ryan could actually parlay his interest into pretty much anything he wanted to do, because if nobody wanted to hire him, he would just hire himself and produce it.
He's a charismatic dude.
Yes, he is.
Now, you, in this current production, you play the Good Fairy.
Yes.
And so you actually say, I can't remember if it was on your bio, you said that you'd always secretly dreamed of being a fairy.
I secretly believe I am a fairy.
Oh, that's a different matter now.
Do
now
you really?
Okay.
Do you really do?
I do.
Oh, my.
Have wanted to play a fairy, or maybe even I've wanted to be a fairy my whole life.
Yes.
And I've always believed in magic. I've always believed in the power of, earth magic and elementals and everything that most adults say don't exist.
Good for you.
And I teach that to my kids. I believe in the power of the imagination and not getting stuck, with the rules that govern life.
And what makes her, because you would have researched the role, done a lot of different Stanislavski method preparation. What what makes her a good fairy? Does she say she's a good fairy? Because that seems a little arrogant. Or what? How does that work?
I don't actually say that I'm
that
the
you're
good
a good fairy. Okay.
I say everybody else says that I say the good fairies. The good fairies. The only thing that makes Carabas wicked is because she got her feelings hurt. And isn't that life? When your feelings get hurt on anything, generally you tend to take on the other personality versus who you are normally.
Yes,
you act
out.
Pain hurts.
Yes.
And so, that's all
And what about with fairies? I'm always, is there a union for fairies? Is the tooth fairy in the same union, or is it a different denomination? How does that work?
Well, in our house, we have the tooth fairy. We have the Halloween fairy who comes and takes your candy after trick-or-treating.
What?
And you get,
that sucks.
And you get a toy.
Get something better.
Yes. Oh, okay, I was going to say.
It's a good fairy.
What a cruel household. Oh, okay, you get a toy then. Great.
And we read books about fairies all the time.
Wow.
So, yes, I love it. I love
now,
it.
Disney
I
has a little series with animated
the
fairies.
Pixie Hollow
the Pixie,
fairies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am that chick. Everything fairy. I mean, when I moved into my dressing room, I brought in my fairy books. I pulled out beforehand. I pulled out all of my little fairy toys that my husband has bought me. I was going to have a big, huge fairy house we found at the Dickens Fair in Northern California that they do every year. But I just love it. I just think they're beautiful and fun and everything hopeful and light and wonderful without putting religion, a label over it. You know,
that's
giving
beautiful.
Everyone.
A magical time.
Yeah.
As Christmas really should be. I mean, and also paying attention to what it you know, why it exists, because sometimes we lose sight of that. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you got Hanukkah over here.
All of those things. What?
You got Hanukkah over here. I mean, by the fourth or fifth day of visiting family and having arguments and eating too much gefilte fish, you're like, screw this. Let's bring on the new year. It's just, it's too much. Christmas does it right,
It's funny you don't look Jewish for some reason to me. I never would have known this.
I know. I don't know what it's.
And I didn't know until we talked about the doorway to this studio.
Yeah, that's right, because there's a thing on the door, and I don't know the Hebrew word because I'm a bad Jew, that you're supposed to touch when you come in.
Just touch?
I have one on my hand, on my house.
You do?
I used to. I don't remember.
You don't remember the name?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, see, I'm going to get a lot of complaints, a lot of evil tweets about this. Rightfully angry tweets.
From your 50-some-odd
people.
From
52. It's not 7,973, but I'm working on it.
I am not an active tweeter.
We have to baptize Samira in a second.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to, since we don't have Garrett here with us, I think maybe what we should do is partake in this.
Embarrassing moments?
Yes, embarrassing moments.
I've got one.
Think of one.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
I'll think of one. And before we go out, we'll tell everybody. Are you ready, Tamara?
No.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Mark,
let's plug the way to go and see her in Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, let's do that.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, very, very simple. The venue, the Pasadena Playhouse in beautiful Pasadena, downtown Pasadena, historic building. You'll have your sights on that once you even walk through the doors. And that is now through Sunday, January 4th. You want to tell us about the playing schedule, Mark?
I would love to if I had it in front of me. Absolutely. Oh. It plays, let me just say that it plays now and in the future.
There
I can certainly say that.
It's on page
Help
three.
Me, Sterlo.
Page 3 of
page
your...
3, then I can do it.
Yes,
Page 3 is right here, ladies
there
and gentlemen. This is Slick Radio. It's actually playing now through Sunday, January 4th, 2015, and it plays Monday, 7:30, Tuesdays, Fridays as well, 7:30. There's a Saturdays, 12 p.m., 4 p.m., and 7:30 p.m. Lucy Lawless is furious by the last show. She just starts biting fellow cast members. Sundays at 12 and 4, and there's a special matinee Wednesday, Christmas Eve, 4 p.m. That would be delightful. And then Friday, December 26th, what Australians call Boxing Day, at 4 p.m. And Tuesday, December 30th, at 4 p.m.
And on sales information, PasadenaPlayhouse.org or call 626-356-7529.
Wonderful.
Or visit the box office. You've got it covered there.
Yeah.
Tickets are very reasonably priced. For as little as $24 to as much as... twice that much, depending on the seating location.
There are child seats, which are cheaper as well. And if you're very
Absolutely.
Short, you can try to, pose as a child.
Pass yourself off as a child.
And do that, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So, embarrassing moments. Tamira Gray, you're on.
Oh, the only one that I can think of was when I was a kid. And I... can't believe I'm telling this.
Yeah.
I was at my bus stop waiting for the bus. We had a lot of time in the morning. And I had discovered my flexibility. So I was like showing everybody at my bus stop, look, I can put my legs over my head. Look, look, look. And I went to put my legs over my head and I farted.
Yeah. That is very embarrassing.
Gotta love her now.
That's a great embarrassing story.
Yes.
That really is.
Yes.
Because we, you know, we have different levels of I fell over, I did this. That is just flat out embarrassing. I don't care what anyone says. That's great.
Well, let's hope she never does that on the stage.
Yeah.
I hope so. That would be great.
At the bus stop, you know.
That's right.
So what's yours, Mark?
Mine is, and not many people know this because I'm really embarrassed about it. This is real-time embarrassment. I was a series regular on a soap when I was 15. That was around 1988. At the time, Kylie Minogue, for anyone who knows her, and Jason Donovan, they were people that were on a show called Neighbours, which became a smash hit in England. And they began recording careers. And at the age of 16 and 89, I decided that I was going to be a recording star. So I got together with a friend and we recorded a cover. I'm laughing because I'm so embarrassed, of Phil Collins' Groovy Kind of Love. That was going to be my big pitch to record executives at the time. When I'm feeling blue, all I got to do. You know that song?
I do.
Yes. Now you certainly know it. So that's my embarrassing story. There's probably a tape somewhere, which is just horrific.
So nothing happened.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, yes.
I don't think you've seen me on the Billboard Top 100 in the last 25 years. So that was horrifically embarrassing.
I'll make my super short.
I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I want to hear it. Yeah.
When I was in the musical theater business myself as a performer, big theater out here, 4,000 seats, Santa Monica Civic Auditorium. At that time, the rage was all theater in the round.
Okay.
Everywhere in the country, all the theaters were converting to being in the round. Bye Bye Birdie with Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, wow.
Recreating his role. And his brother, Jerry Van Dyke, took it over during the run as well. But Dick opened the show. At any rate, if you know the show, it starts in New York at the train station. And then there is a transition as Conrad Birdie leaves New York and arrives in Sweet Apple, Ohio. So it's the same. You're all on stage. We're all on stage at the same time. Underdressed in our Sweet Apple clothes. We were wearing, when we opened, in the New York outfits.
Okay, know. Yeah.
And
ready to take off.
Right.
Ready
and
to.
So during that transition of going from one city to another, it was a strobe light. So everybody had to get ready and peel off clothes in the strobe light. And we had dressers assisting us.
You yes.
Know, they were all in black, and so you could kind of not see them. And again, in the round, 4,000 people.
We know where this is going.
And the lights came up. And I'm standing there cheering with an American flag and cheering, and I've got my red, white, and blue sweater on, and I am singing my heart out, and I feel like, what?
A draft.
And I look down, and I am in my dance belt.
Oh!
And I am, the people on the backside of the, you know, my side of the theater, they got their money's worth on that.
Well, and the front side with the nice dance belt package.
Yes,
come on now.
Well, yeah, but I think at that point.
You've boasted about your appendage before on this show, so don't get shy now. I mean, come on.
Well,
wow, that's amazing.
I know. I think awesome. That's all we have time for.
Oh, my goodness.
To Myra Gray, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
What a pleasure it is to meet you in person. And I'm going to try to get myself over there and see the show before it closes. So.
Please do.
Yeah, I hope, Mark, you do.
I will. You are a light.
And
thank you for
Victoria.
Being here.
Yes, you are.
I will. Yes, I will.
Mark, thank you. As always, a pleasure to do the show with you. We'll see you. We're not doing a show on Christmas Day, folks, so we will be back the week after.
I look forward to it. All right.
See you. All right. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.